Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tweet at us or just follow us. Or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
I thought you were going to start with the clip.
No, I was waiting for it.
Oh, you mean this clip I said on purpose?
That's Daddy's finger.
There you go.
That's Daddy's finger.
No, it's just more of a saying. Yeah.
That's a country song. One of my favorite old country songs.
Butterfly Kisses, Daddy's Finger,
Daddy's
same thing.
Finger,
right?
Yeah. It was about affection.
Yeah. Daddy went to jail soon after that.
Start with a Michelle Bachman birthday.
Yeah, what happened?
This day in 2015, we lost Yogi Berra.
Happy birthday!
Died of Yogi Berra disease at 90 years old.
Was that just being old?
Yeah.
I forget Yogi Berra disease.
It was actually natural causes.
Was he the first Yankee to die of old age?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I think
famous
that is
Yankee,
his disease.
Famous,
yeah. Yeah. And then a game of who's older? Speaking of old baseball guys, Tommy Lasorda, long time. You know, Dodger.
Right.
I mean, just the guy is Dodgers.
Right.
Or Dirt.
Ooh, Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
Well, Dirt looked better in a Dodgers uniform than Tommy did. Tommy was the reason they should take away uniforms from managers. Tommy Lasorda.
Dirt's aged better.
Him and Don Zimmer.
He is older than Dirt.
I'll say Tommy Lasorda is older than Dirt.
He's 90.
Okay.
He is 90.
And Dirt's 84.
Right. And David Stern, 75 today,
mm-hmm.
which you would have got that right, Lasorda or Stern. But who's taller of those two?
Ooh, Tommy.
No, Tommy's kind of bent
Stern,
over now.
Stern.
Stern's a short guy.
Tommy Lasorda, 5'10".
Oh, he's that tall.
Dirt, zero measurement. David Stern, 5'9".
Yeah, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Not now, though. I guarantee you Tommy Lasorda's not 5'10 now.
No yeah, way. I don't know if that was a current measurement.
No, that's,
or...
not, that's just probably what he was at his height.
Yeah.
At his height. That's
and
funny.
I've seen piles of dirt that are like 6-7 feet tall.
Yeah. That's true.
So in some cases, dirt is taller than Tommy Lasorda.
Definitely taller.
And David Stern.
Mm-hmm. In the morning. Nebraska fired its athletic director based on athletic performance.
That was a national sports story. I saw Coward talking about it. And Husker fan won't like what he said, but basically said they're not going to be ever number one. They're going to be 8-9-win team because this is Coward. Don't talk to me because they don't care.
Times have changed.
Can't recruit Texas anymore because they're not in the Big 12, and there's no 200-mile radius of big recruits. That's a fact.
Not a big talent base here.
Right. And although I live here, I like Omaha and the Lincoln area. It's a fine place. The fact is it's not attractive to other people in other parts of the country. Cold, dank winters.
They don't have
it. And that's how they sell against it.
They don't have any of the advantages they used to have, which are facilities.
Everybody's got
TV,
a great weight room, all that. But you know,
apparel,
as I know, there's a lot of people we know really well and personally that are just don't buy any of that.
Yeah.
They think it's, and including ex-players for some reason. They've been tweeting out all 2 days. Let's get back to 94. Well, that's not going to happen.
You can't. The playing field has leveled out, man.
No, Mecca has moved.
Well, it's moved from Well, actually, the worst part about this story was that today they talked about Coward actually mentioned, you know, the other programs have gone back and come back, and he said the reason they've come back is because of fertile recruiting grounds. He mentioned Ohio State, Penn State, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and Alabama, who went down for a little bit too. Oh, I got to play this.
Alabama's going down.
So he goes into that, but then I read people, and people just get mad when they say that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not. Well, no, it is true. It's just basic facts.
Yeah, I mean, for
basic facts.
The edges Nebraska had in the late 80s and into the 90s were success. They were on TV all the time. They had apparel contracts.
Right.
They had facilities nobody else had.
Everybody's
had
on TV
nutrition
now.
That
you.
Nobody else had. And
everybody
now
has it
you
now.
Can go to Arkansas State and get that.
Right. Another great article in the Orlando Sentinel.
Steroids. They had steroids. Oh, that was early.
If you people you people that love Scott Frost, there's a great article in the Orlando Sentinel about him I read yesterday. And basically saying, you know, why would he want to go?
Why would he right now?
It said in the article he had trouble. He has easier time recruiting there than he did at Oregon because Oregon's in the Pacific Northwest and people don't want to go there. Same with the middle of the country like we are.
When he's in Florida,
and he said he drives a half hour from his from Orlando and picks up kids.
Right, you know? And he's worked on both coasts now.
Right.
So you know if he does well there, he could have any job.
Right.
Now he might want the Nebraska job. He might not want the Nebraska job. Now, that job's not available right now, though Mike Riley's sitting there eating dinner in a burning house.
That's good.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh,
man. He's done.
Oh, Jesus.
He's done.
Things are on fire. But the story nationally for Nebraska, the reason it's a story is because it's just like, well, go figure. They're
that's
firing
it.
Somebody again. Every
right.
2-3 years, they're going to fire
that
somebody.
That doesn't look
in.
Good at all.
Does not.
Nope.
Makes the job less desirable.
If you're a coach, you want to look at someplace that's been stable.
Yeah, and that was another advantage Nebraska had in the 80s right. into the 90s.
They had stability. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know. They think we're haters. We are, but the bottom line is we're just telling you what we hear.
Just
the
an
truth.
Observer.
Observer. And you're not a hater. You're an observer, you know?
Yeah. Just observations.
Yeah.
Talk to you at the bar tomorrow.
Exactly. And I don't get all worked up about it because it's funny to me. The social media is just crazy. You guys are so fun to read. You're so fun.
The school still owes Pellini a bunch of money,
yeah,
by the
exactly.
way. So anybody thinking they're going to be able to fork out a bunch of cash to get an athletic director who will fork out a bunch of cash to get a head coach.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, they have a head coach, and no big-name athletic director really wants the job.
My favorite line in this Orlando Sentinel article, now granted, he's from Orlando, so he's a hater. He wrote, Callahan, Pellini, and Mike Riley. He goes, that's a list you would see for North Carolina State.
Huh.
It shouldn't be a list you'd see for Nebraska. After the film.
Now.
And that's who wanted to come here.
Well, they're reaping what they've sown, you know?
For sure.
Well, I follow Arizona State, so
yes,
I have no sympathy for anyone.
Nor do I. I have no sympathy for anybody. God, no. Come on.
My team's going to win 4 games tops.
And then there's
this
a lot
year.
Of tribalism going on right now, which pisses me off. I'm a transplant. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to hate us because we're not from here? Because that's what's happening now. You read that.
Yeah.
We need a coach and a staff, everybody from Nebraska. I've been reading that. I'm thinking, how sad and short-sighted is that? Somebody can't move in from another state and actually care about something.
Well, they don't understand.
Thank you.
They ain't
here. And that tribalism drives people away.
Those are the same people that years ago when Callahan was getting rid of the walk-on program,
right.
Pellini was
they
trying
loved
to...
It.
They were against it.
Right.
They were like, yeah, we need more in-state. We need more walk-ons. That's the hunger. They need. Now there's guys, those same guys are sitting around telling me, you know, there's 2 of the 5 starters on the offensive line who are walk-ons.
Right.
Where are these 4-star recruits? Like, well, you're the same guy that was bitching about not having walk-ons. Now they have them and you don't want them.
No, it's just crazy. And the tribalism, it drives me crazy too, you know.
Look, they'll still play football. It's a self-sustaining program at this point,
which many in the
country are not.
And they'll keep buying up the tickets.
Sure.
The corporations will buy those. That list won't go
That's
away.
How you could actually get their attention is stop going to games.
Yes.
Stop watching. Break the sellout streak and send a message.
Well, the sellout streak is broke. Nobody talks about that. But you're right. Just specifically, don't go.
Technically.
Don't go.
It's not broken.
No.
But you could actually break the sellout streak, and then maybe they'd wake up.
Yes.
I don't know what that does, though, because the perception around the country, the guys who that could change things and come to Nebraska and maybe have a chance of changing the program, they don't care about the sellout streak.
No, they've been reading
No.
the
you know what I mean?
No,
it's irrelevant to the reality of the situation.
Right. They just want to win games.
Yeah. And look, it's not to say they'll never win games again. I just think that they're always going to have trouble sustaining the amount of success that they had in the 90s.
Well, they haven't done that since.
Period.
They haven't done it since.
It is hard to do in college football.
That is it yesterday. It's not yesterday.
Yeah. So the other day we were talking about Forbes' valuation of NFL franchises, and the Wall Street Journal and a finance professor have put together a similar theory of college football programs. If college football programs could be for sale, what would the valuation be?
I saw this, man.
This is pretty interesting considering the NCAA is not a business.
I only saw this top 7. How far the list goes?
I could only find 10.
Oh, I didn't go. I didn't hear 8, 9, or 10.
I could only find 10. So – the valuation for the number one, you want me to start at the bottom or the top? I don't know.
Start at the top.
Start at the top.
No, start with 10.
Okay.
We'll count them down.
Auburn is number 10. No surprise, an SEC school. And I didn't write down their valuation. So we'll go to 9. Tennessee, their valuation for him, $745 million. Georgia, number 8, $822 million. Notre Dame, no surprise in that top 10, number 7, just under $900 million, as is Michigan, as is LSU, they're 5 and 6. Alabama, I would have guessed to be a little higher.
No.
Alabama's going down!
Is the estimated valuation, if a college football program could be for sale, their valuation, $930 million. Now, there's 3 teams that they valued at over $1 billion if the college football program could be sold on the open market.
They didn't surprise
Can you
me.
Guess who these three are, well, considering I haven't?
I would bet, yeah.
Well, Ohio State's number 1. I
saw. Ohio State,
yeah. Number
Alabama,
1.
Michigan.
Oklahoma and Michigan.
Alabama's number 4.
Oklahoma.
Michigan was number 6. Ohio State is number 1 at $1.5 billion. Texas, number 2, $1.24 billion.
Right.
Oklahoma, number 3, at $1
billion. What is this based on?
I've seen that going around. Stoops is going to come to Lincoln. He just quit. A great school.
Jeez,
people,
man.
How do you handle these people? How do you bartend?
Oh, it's fun now. I mean, I spent so many years around the program and doing radio shows locally here.
Isn't it fun to hear that? Do you hear that stuff like that?
It's laughable, man. You might as well say Bear Bryant's coming.
That's it.
I mean,
or Bill Cowher's got.
All I got is an image gallery here, and it doesn't say what they based their valuations on.
Okay, this was a finance professor who based it on revenue, obviously, first of all.
Okay,
ticket sales. Success over the last years. What was the other one? Oh, just how much the amount of money that they spend on their football program.
Yeah.
Those kind of basis, and then merchandising as well.
See, I would have guessed like Notre Dame would have been bumped up because, you know, they've got their own TV network.
They're still pretty hot.
And their own merchandising deal.
Yeah.
But they make less money on that TV network than Big Ten teams do with their share.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's not even a big deal.
They were just making that money first.
Right.
You know, they were just way ahead of that curve.
Well, they made that deal with NBC a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Boring. Who watches that crap?
What, college football?
No, who watches Notre Dame on NBC? I never watch them.
Yeah, it's a non-factor.
They're just non-factor.
I don't even flip to that channel.
Never.
You know, unless if they're playing USC in a ranked game or something like that, maybe. College football this weekend.
You ain't from Notre Dame.
Yeah. That's right. I am not.
You don't understand.
You understand. Born and bred in South Bend. Whatever that means.
Yeah. They have these same conversations in Notre Dame every few years.
Yeah, I'm sure they
do. In Tuscaloosa everywhere.
Well, Tuscaloosa's been okay the last few years.
They weren't for a while.
Yeah, they weren't.
They were not. 9 of the top 10 in college football on the road, all in conference. The average point spread I mentioned this week, it's up to 21 points now in those games. Exciting games. Now, Oklahoma State, who's number 6 and looks to be pretty good, maybe legit, is against TCU, who's a ranked team. They're still a 13-point favorite in that game, though.
He's 15, he's a man.
That would be the game of the week.
Yeah, they destroyed Pitt.
Yep.
Pitch not that great, but they destroyed them.
Yeah, they score points, man.
Yeah, they can score.
No surprise, you know, when former college studs go back to their college town.
they get arrested.
Something bad happens, man. Ricky Williams was back in Austin, and he was arrested on traffic warrants, records show. Now, his mugshot, he's just smiling, and I think he's smiling probably because this must have been the one time he was driving somewhere and he didn't have weed on him.
Exactly.
Ah, the old failure to appear.
Right.
I've been there.
So he's out, and he's fine. He's actually, I didn't know he was doing a...
Were they traffic warrants when he was in college?
Probably.
I know, think about that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably not. I think they expire after a certain amount of time.
He probably just washed him when he was there winning a Heisman. I didn't realize he was working as an analyst for the Longhorn Network on ESPN because I don't watch that network.
Do we get it?
I don't know.
That might be just a regional thing.
Could very well be.
I think
it's a big
I'd get
money
it now.
One. Yeah.
I think I had to pay like for a little extra sports package to get the Red Zone channel, and I think Longhorn Network
is
was
involved.
Included. Yeah.
Yeah. NFL thinking it's lucky stars that this hasn't happened in their league lately, but a D2 football player, 19-year-old, died after head trauma, neck trauma, while making a tackle in the fourth quarter of a game. 19-year-old,
football, on the field.
After making a tackle, was hospitalized for the weekend, died on Tuesday.
Okay.
Sad story.
Died in the hospital. He didn't die on the spot.
Correct. Did not die on the field. Correct. No. And then Aaron Hernandez news has resurfaced. His fiance is suing the National Football League and the Patriots.
And the Patriots, too, right?
Yep, because Aaron's brain shows that he had stage 3 CTE, and that is on a scale of 4.
Right.
Now, I understand. I mean, this guy was doing dirt well before he was in the NFL.
Right.
So, like, I mean, it's tough. I realize the NFL's on the hook for a lot of this stuff.
She wants cash, you're right.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't blame all of his behavior on CTE.
Correct.
Because there's a bunch of guys who have been diagnosed with that. And
don't murder people.
They never killed anybody.
No, right. No. Execution style. No. This day in 1987, the second strike in the National Football League, or second work stoppage, I guess would be a better way to say it, in 5 years. Players at the time were making an average of $230,000. And to your guys' point, it lasted 24 days. Scabs were brought in.
Yeah,
it counted in the regular season standings. There and guys realized, man, I want to get back to work.
Right.
So I'm missing games here.
People were still going to watch it.
So they went back to work.
Yeah. And what's that 30-30? I haven't seen it yet. It's about the Redskins scabs,
the,
right?
The Redskins.
A Redskins scab.
Specifically, the Redskins scab.
Picking a Redskins scab.
Because some of the scabs stayed on and finished the season.
Well, yeah.
And they went on to win the Super Bowl.
And they did not get rings, right?
That's the story.
Yeah. Even the ones that stayed on and played the rest of the season were denied rings.
And merchandising,
really?
Licensing out of that.
I thought one of those guys got one.
Maybe
for him
retroactively.
No, not that one. A different one.
Oh,
one of the guys that actually played in the
Super Bowl.
The game before that. The
championship game.
Yeah, the championship game of their conference.
That 30-30 is out there, right? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I just saw the tail end of it.
I'll check that out.
Heard Jack Kent Cook, I don't know what his son's name is, crying poverty. Well, those rings are very expensive.
Yeah, right.
And those guys weren't allowed in any of the merchandising deals either because they weren't part of the players' union. Any of the sales and the proceeds of that Super Bowl championship, they didn't see any of that money.
Yeah, because I'm sure a lot of people had a favorite scab.
I do.
They won all their games.
Well, I think a receiver set the Redskins' receiving record as a scab, I think, which still might stand in a single game. Yeah.
I don't know if any other scab teams went undefeated. Because they concentrate solely on the Redskins.
Right.
On the
That's one to watch, yeah.
10 road favorites in the National Football League this weekend. That's kind of different.
That means there's some bad teams in the NFL.
We know that. Yeah. And the Rams were one of them last night against the Niners, and they won. They did not cover.
I know my boys are favorites.
Yes, they are.
At Chicago,
8-point favorite. Denver's at the Bills, 3-point favorite. Those are noon games. Vikings, Bucks, I still haven't seen a line on.
Are the Bucks at the Bucks?
It's in Minnesota.
It is in Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Are they holding off on that one since you don't know who's playing quarterback?
Yeah, usually that has a lot to do with it. The Cheaters are 14.5-point favorites against the Texans, against J.J. Watt, I should just say.
Say that, the Watts.
Only three afternoon games, again, mention that. But Raiders will be on Sunday Night Football.
Petey hates these noon games.
Well,
I love the noon games. I just wish that they would spread it out. Give me a full day.
I like more options on the second game, too, because I'm always busy in the first game.
So there's three afternoon games. Seattle at Tennessee, Cincinnati at the Packers, and the Chiefs and Chargers.
You would think the NFL would do a little more to accommodate you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
They should.
You're big fans.
Mm-hmm.
Been a big fan for a long time.
Yeah.
So do what you can, Goodell. Accommodate these two guys a little more.
And, you know, the 8:30 London game doesn't help me, Goodell, because I'm not up
and
on
it's streaming.
Sunday. I work late on Saturday.
I'm not up.
You got to stream it.
Watch that on my device.
All right.
Give me a break. The combined records of teams that played in London, as I mentioned yesterday, by the way, if you missed that, 79 and 124. So they always send them the cream of the crop. Remember Peanut Tillman, Charles Peanut Tillman? He played for the Bears. He had that kind of...
Oh, Tillman, yeah.
Yeah, he had that move where he'd sneak up behind a guy and punch the ball out.
Right, yeah.
Punch him.
Hated that guy.
He retired. He was an NFL Man of the Year, you know, just an upstanding dude, retired. And now at 37 years old here in February, which is just on the line of applying for the FBI.
Okay.
You can be between 23 and 37.
You can be that late? Okay.
He was a criminal justice major at Louisiana Lafayette.
Really? Nobody ever does that.
And he's trying to get into the FBI.
I know 1,000 window salesmen that were criminal justice majors.
Now, athletically, obviously, he can hold up to some of the demands maybe that the FBI might have. He's net worth somewhere around $45 million.
Man.
You know, and he's deciding to go work hard.
Good for him, but I'm not listening to anybody.
Serve and protect.
No.
If I got $45 million in the bank, I'm not having a boss.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. That's the key.
It's not happening.
Or vacation
request. Can I be a boss of this office? Otherwise, I'm not going to do it.
No. No, I'm not submitting my vacation request, like you said.
No boss.
It's not going to happen.
No boss at $45 million.
Especially a hard-ass boss, which I would imagine.
Which would be, is called
FBI.
A boss.
Yeah, yeah, you would have to be if you're
is called
a boss.
Special agent in charge. Yeah.
In the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
He should start his own, just be his own private eye. Just do, you know, $200 bucks a day.
Yeah, get a Ferrari and a Hawaiian shirt and just go.
Just go.
Think your husband's cheating on you? I'll sneak up behind him and punch his ball out.
You call Tillman's private eye. I'm in charge.
It's $200 a day plus expense.
That's right, Rockford. I'm sure it's gone up since 75, but whatever.
Yeah, you got to adjust for inflation a little bit.
No, I think that market's held pretty steady.
Yeah, I think so.
It's still $200 bucks a day plus expenses.
You ever seen a fight at your youth football games, which you go to a lot now? Or any of your youth sports activities?
I've seen some arguments.
Not of the players, but of
I've seen some parents get into each other.
Okay, there we go.
But I haven't seen them actually. No, I haven't witnessed fisticuffs at all. I haven't witnessed that yet. But I've seen people yell at each other,
Yeah, there's so much drama around youth sports. A lot of my friends, their kids are in. It just blows my mind
there's
at some
a lot of
the
of
drama.
It,
but,
most, and you know, in general, 90% of the, I mean, these are good. My stats are out the ass for most of the time, but the fact is, most people get it. They you're intense. You want your kids to win and play well, but you know what it is, and you're not fighting other people about a youth sports game. But some people do. Some people do.
Yeah, that's just too much.
It's brutal.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. I sent you this link the other day. I didn't get to the story.
Yeah, I got it here. I'll put it up.
We can put it up. Okay, so two coaches on the same team were having a dispute about whether a reserve running back should go in and get a carry, get to play a little bit. These are coaches on the same team in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So one guy says to the other, your son is slow, he's never going to carry the ball.
Man.
Now, the son he was referring to actually is autistic.
Oh.
And hadn't played, and it was a chance for him to get into the game.
And he mentioned just because his speed is slow.
Yeah, your son's slow.
That's when let the kid in the game.
Yeah, this was, third grade football.
Maybe the word slow is not the key word, but third grade.
Third grade football.
That is so small.
So you can imagine, you know, how the dad of the autistic slow kid responded to that, and he responded by challenging the other guy, and it turns into a full-on,
at least it's two coaches on the same team fighting?
Two coaches, same team, fighting, and nobody wants to stop it. It must be, one of them must be a real jerk.
Yeah.
Because everybody was just kind of like, hey, go
I gotta
ahead.
See
hey,
that video.
Guys, go ahead.
I gotta see that
And then
video.
The end of the video, you don't see how it really ends, but the two of them are walking. They're pointing to the parking lot, like, "Look, let's just go take care of this at the parking lot." And the two of them walk off to the parking lot. Tape ends. Draw your own conclusion.
Yeah, well, winning is very important to them because they know there's going to be an opening at Nebraska soon.
Third grade football.
We got to go get that guy.
Oh, your kid's too slow.
Yeah, he's tough.
Don't tell an autistic kid's dad.
Your kid's too slow.
Jesus,
right?
Come on back.
You're listening to the Dot and Tyler Radio Empire.